News with Nick, October 19th, 2018, for one live listener. And what do you expect? This has become a quarterly show. I don't know. You guys like your weekly shows. You guys, some of you like your 5 days a week show. I say no. Too much. Too much work. Too much. When you get, listen, you wouldn't eat a burger. Well, I would. You wouldn't eat the same thing every day for 3 hours per day, 5 days a week, would you? No. Every 3 to 6 months, you go, you know what? I'm really going to treat myself tonight. I'm going to go out. I'm going to eat one of those steaks. I'm going to make some mashed potatoes. And by make, I mean also order from the waitress. And then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take that steak and I'm going to cut it and I'm going to dip it into mashed potatoes and I'm going to eat it. And everyone goes, whoa, you can't dip steak into mashed potatoes. Yes, you can. And also you will order the steak medium, not this rare or medium rare stuff where they put it on the grill for a second and then they take it off. And then it's like, well, the outside looks like it's cooked, but 1 millimeter in, it's just juice and red and blood. And I'm like, ooh, disgusting. No, take that, dip it in your mashed potatoes. And then that is what this show is. Steak dipped in mashed potatoes that you can only enjoy if it is so, so rare because it takes so much. Okay, moving on. Red Sox are headed to the World Series, and it's all because of this guy. This is showing up on the stream, right? Yeah, okay. Phew. Let's change the welcome text so that people are tuning in live on Twitch. Just kidding, I'm not on Twitch. We'll know where to go to get more info. So this guy reaches out. So the ball is hit real hard, right? That's what they do in baseball. Oh, yeah, do you great American pastime. I'm Brett. It's a baseball. And they hit it, and it goes all the way to the fence. You know, the goal is to get the ball over the fence. So it's getting right to the fence. And then just as the outfielder jumps to catch it, one of the fans, in his Reagan Bush hat, reaches out and bumps the outfielder's glove, and he can't make the catch, right? And so they go, oh, home run! Home run! It went over the wall, and he didn't catch it. And then the umps were like, no, we're going to look at the video replay and see what happened. And so they say, uh-oh, fan interference. Therefore, the batter is out, because we think that outfielder would have caught it. And it caused a ton of controversy because apparently the rule is that there's no fan interference if the ball went over the plane of the wall. Like if the outfielder is reaching over the wall, the audience, the fans can do anything. They can like start beating up the outfielder. It doesn't matter. There's no interference. But if the fan reached over the wall, interference. So I don't know. It looks to me like it's, I don't know. Looks to me like it went into the stands and there should have been no interference. But, you know, what are you going to do? This is a real Lanny and Doral story here. You can never tell. We don't have enough cameras. Mega Millions jackpot rises to $1 billion. We love it when this happens, folks. The Mega Millions jackpot has reached $1 billion Friday. And I say, Mega Millions? More like mega billions, right, guys? The $1 billion prize refers to the annuity option. Most winners opt for cash, which for Friday night's drawing could be $565 million. They opt for cash? Now, I'll take it in Litecoin. Although the jackpot keeps increasing, the odds of winning remain at 1 in 302.5 million. Well, now. So everyone says this, like, uh-uh. The lottery is a tax on people who can't do math. Oh, yeah? Cash for $565 million, divide that by $302.5 million. That's more than $1 per chance. Therefore, if a ticket is $1, oh, tickets cost $2 each. Oopsies. I shouldn't have sent my lawyers out to buy approximately 5.5 billion tickets. So anyway, they say 1 in 300.25 million per one ticket, right? So if you want to get 10 chance, if you want to like lower your chances of not winning, just buy 10 tickets. Then it's 1 in 30.25 million. That's a way better odds than 302.5 million. That's like that 10 times is your chances just for another, what, $18? If someone walked up and you were like, do you want a 10 times your chance at winning $500 million for $18? Who would say no? Who would be like, no, I don't want a 10 times my chance of that. I don't. Yeah. So anyway, lines out the door to get your lottery tickets. Saw some people at the store getting them, although it doesn't normally get this busy, that busy in this area. But I was like, there's no way I'm walking up to a lady at a counter and being so level one as to be like, could I get some Mega Millions tickets too? Like, I'd walk up to a machine. Oh, you probably can get them at a machine, right? But I'm not going to have some girl paid $7.50 an hour looking at me going, you idiot. Why would you buy a ticket? I mean, I really want a ticket, but there's no way I'm going to risk getting judged by someone for doing so. That'd be crazy. And besides, what if I get in between two pores that are also trying to buy tickets? Did you guys see this video from a recent rugby match? So they were showing the audience where the cameraman just points at the audience. And this lady is sitting with her two friends on a blanket up on the hill. So it's not on, it's not in like the bleachers or the chairs or anything. They're like field sitting. And then all of a sudden, the middle baby topples over, hits the lady's leg and starts rolling down the hill. And the mom has to get up and literally run down the hill chasing her rolling baby. It's the funniest thing I have ever seen. And then nobody cares. They're just like, well, I guess the baby's probably fine. It didn't look like it hit its head off a pebble or anything. But I wonder how far it would have gone. Like, how far is this hill? Would it have just kept picking up speed? Anyway, and the other two moms are sitting there with their babies. Where do you find three moms and three guys who are dressed exactly the same, by the way, behind them, and then three babies that are all the same age? What the heck? Anyway, I could watch this all day. Just, the baby is like, oh, I'm rolling. I'm rolling. I don't have enough strength in my arms to stop myself. I'm rolling. Oh, boy. All right, everyone is very excited that Brett Kavanaugh has been elected to the Supreme Court. He's been confirmed after going through months and months of sitting in front of the council, and he goes, I like beer. And they're like, do you like beer? He's like, I like beer, but like, I didn't drink that much. And other people were like, you drank a lot. And he was like, nuh-uh. And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm over here like, what? What does this have to do with anything? That was like 25, 30 years ago, right? I don't care if he punched a clown in the face 20 years ago. It has no bearing on, you know, here's the level of here's the level of crimes. Punching a clown in the face, top, right below that, rape, right? Right below that, letting your baby roll down a hill. Like, what? That's happened so long ago. How does that have any bearing on him being the Supreme Court nominee? Does it have any bearing on how good of a judge he is or how good of a lawyer he was? No, probably not. But people care about that stuff. Anyway, so our listener, one of my Facebook friends, Crystal Casket, writes on Facebook that she has been very moved by this. So we're going to read a great story from her. I've never told anyone this story before. It's just on my mind. And by the way, everyone, this was shared publicly. When I was in fourth grade, I think it was, I had gone from school for a week or so because I was really sick. So while everyone else was enjoying some kind of craft or playtime, I had to stay behind and do homework that I had. Yeah, I'm not going to read this. Yeah, I'm going to read it. I'd stay behind and do homework that I had missed. Two other girls stayed behind and stood on either side of the teacher. His special girls, I still remember the name of one of them, and she had long, white, blonde hair. So this listener's teacher had special girls. I don't remember the other girl so much, but she had shorter, brown hair. I didn't want to do my schoolwork for some reason. I was being stubborn and crabby. The teacher said, if you don't do your homework, I will come and nibble your ear. I panicked. I flipped over my textbook and started reading. I did not want him to touch me, but it was too late. He walked up behind my desk, stood very close, and bent over to me. He put his lips right next to my left ear and whispered, "Nibble, nibble, nibble." He then repeated it on the other side, "Nibble, nibble, nibble." I felt sick to my stomach. I didn't want to go back to school. One day, my dad told me that the teacher had gotten in trouble for touching some of the girls in class. He asked me if he had ever touched me. I lied. I told him no. But wait, did he touch or not? Is saying nibble, nibble, nibble touching? Because if so, oops. I was terrified of what would happen if I told the truth. I did not know my teacher had been fired. I thought he would still be there every day, and I would be waiting for punishment. I didn't know what he would do to me. I didn't want to make it worse. Yes, my little fourth grade mind thought all of these things. When I got to school the next day, that teacher wasn't there. I never saw him again. Or that girl with the white blonde hair. Oh my goodness. So wait, what happened? Did he... He got in trouble for touching a girl. So he touched the 9 or 10 year old girl. So fourth grade, that must have been 9 or 10. Regardless, this happened to me about 22 years ago. I still remember it. I never told anyone the truth. I've never even told this story before now. I've told people about the other times I've been sexually assaulted and abused, but for some reason, not this. So just because I've never told another soul and happened over 2 decades ago, does that mean it never happened? Does that mean it doesn't cause pain when I think about it, that it doesn't make me sad? Because a man said nibble, nibble, nibble? Who are these awful people that are trying to say that what this judge did all those years ago isn't terrible? How could you possibly compartmentalize something so much that you can disregard someone else's suffering? Rape and sexual assault is the most debasing and degrading kind of abuse you can enact to another human being. When people still think, when people can still support someone like that, I really start to lose faith in humanity. We need to do better. Okay, so because a teacher went nibble, nibble, nibble to Crystal Casket, that means that Brett Kavanaugh went nibble, nibble, nibble to a lady behind a dumpster? Oh, yeah. That's the guy that did it behind the dumpster, right? I'm getting all my nibble nibbles confused. Anyway, point is, yeah, apparently people hold this in for several years, but then I'm like, what's, like, if you're in fourth grade, that's pretty annoying, being nibbled on the ear. I guess it's scary because the teacher can be like, obviously the teacher can do whatever. They can be like, you're in detention or you're going to the principal, right? So that is pretty scary. I guess maybe it's sexual assault, but I don't know because I'm not a girl. So everyone's perspective is different, right? When I was a kid, I was walking along with my mom. I was like 4. And I was looking at the ground and I was like, wow, the ants are really small. And then the ants are really small. And I imagined myself as an ant. And I was like, if I were an ant, how tall would I look to me? How tall would a 4-year-old look to me as an ant? And then I looked up at the sky and I tried to picture how high my head would be. And I was like, holy crap, that's super high. And then I thought, well, how is the ant's perspective any more wrong than my perspective? And so I'm like, if I were as tall in comparison to me as I am to the ant, my head would literally be in outer space or something, right? I'd be so tall. So as I'm walking along, I'm thinking this, and I go, Mom, our heads are in outer space. And she goes, what? I was like, ah, she didn't get it. Anyway, it made sense to me. So you never know whatever anyone else's perspective is. So here we are. We got a new Supreme Court judge, though, and hopefully he's going to nibble, nibble, nibble Ruth Bader Ginsburg's thing. New post coming from Crystal, I guess. Hey, a guy on a podcast was making fun of my post. I'm not making fun of your post. I wanted to read the post. I don't know. I wanted to read the post, and it was shared with the public. I'm not reading something that was only shared with friends. All right. Speaking of girls being defriended, Melania Trump, a lookalike, says she's getting death threats after a racy T.I. video. I don't know what Texas Instruments and their calculators has to do with this, right, guys? But the model who plays Melania Trump in rapper T.I.'s controversial new video is opening up about the threats she's received since the video's debut. Melanie Martin is no Melania. Her name is, happens to be, start with M-E-L-A-N? Wait, Melanie and Melania. Can you believe it? Two people with the same starting letters looking like? 35-year-old Canadian has been on the receiving end of some scary backlash after her portrayal of the First Lady in the video. She walks into the Oval Office wearing nothing but the First Lady's notorious green Zara jacket, my favorite jacket, by the way, reading, "I really don't care, do you?" So let's watch the video. First of all, I never knew that there was a guy named T.I. So he walks in. Is he like a clown and he lives in a sewer drain or what? So he's in the Oval Office, and then Melania walks in. Fake Melania. Oh, he's smoking some pot or something. And then she strips and jumps on the desk. And then dances around for a second, and then that's it.
Hello, everybody. Yeah.
And then there's a shot of Trump. And that's it. It's just a teaser. It was so blurry you could barely even make her face out. But everyone's pissed about that. Sending death threats to the artist. And I'm not going to play any of the news, but it's basically, now the 24-hour news has picked up on that. Can you believe it? They were so disrespectful to the First Lady. These are the people that watched Nailin Palin and thought it was funny. Yeah, just because she wasn't the First Lady yet, you thought that was funny and that was okay. But now that she is, you can't do Nailin Palania. People in Canada are cheering, enduring long lines and honking their car horns in support of the country's first marijuana dispensaries. Open their door on Wednesday. Let's see what the news has to say about this. So Canada made... Were they staying up till everyone was counting down? They were staying up till midnight. Oh, hey, look at that scanner. That's a socket. I got one of those. People in Canada are cheering, enduring long lines, and honking their car horns in support as the country's first marijuana dispensaries open their door Wednesday. I'm having a plaque made with the date and time and everything. This is never actually going to be smoked. I'm going to keep it forever, said Ian Power, who was among the first to buy marijuana in St. John's. Imagine he's got it in a box, right? And his friends are over, and they're like, oh, we're out of pot. And he's like, well, I got that one I bought 5 years ago on the first day. And they're like, open it. We have to smoke it now. Like Power, hundreds are now legally buying recreational marijuana all over Canada, but not without adjusting to a few rules. As marijuana enthusiasts continue celebrating this historic day in Canada, here's a quick primer to get you up to speed. Who can buy marijuana in Canada? All right, let's find out. Adults will be allowed to buy, use, and possess and grow recreational marijuana under the law in Quebec and Alberta. The legal age is 18. It's 19. Oh, wait, hang on. I put a pause in the wrong spot. In Quebec and Alberta, it's 18, 19, the rest of the country. The measure legalizing the recreational use of the drug passed the Senate in June, and where can I buy it? The supply of recreational marijuana could be limited, at least early on, in some stores. Officials in Nova Scotia and Manitoba said they won't have a large selection, at least not on the first day. My father is going to be my first customer, and my second customer, who is going to be a lady who has multiple sclerosis. Marijuana will not be sold in the same location as alcohol or tobacco. Consumers are expected to purchase the drug from retailers regulated by provinces and territories. Or from federally licensed producers when those options are not available. So it's basically like alcohol. Can you buy it at a store? Can you buy it, Yeah, if the government says, sure. Can I travel in and out of Canada with weed? No. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Whether you're entering or leaving Canada, it is illegal to have marijuana with you, and you could face criminal charges. You can't travel across international borders with it, even if you're going to Colorado or any of the 8 U.S. states where it has been legalized. Hang on. Does Colorado border Canada? What? I guess if you're flying, right, you like fly into Colorado. I'm like, no, I have it. You guys can still go to Canada, by the way. Going to Canada is so overrated. Anyone who can still go there, you're lame. All right. Massive lines outside Canada. Blah, blah, blah. So, big whoop. So, there's been a ton of lines. I guess if you were there, it's like, whoa, this is pretty crazy. But looking at a picture on the news about lines is not all that exciting. A city council candidate in Evanston, Wyoming, is dealing with blowback after community members discovered what she thought was her secret identity online.
City council candidate selling used underwear and posting racy videos of herself online.
Oh, yeah. Got the town talking in Evanston, Wyoming, where we find Michael Locklear with this exclusive story.
We've learned one woman hoping to represent here at City Hall has what she thought was a secret identity online. Her Twitter bio, much different from your typical candidate, saying, "Girl next door grows up and gets naughty." Deborah Reno is a massage therapist, yoga instructor.
By the way, she looks about 58.
And city council candidate with a side business.
My preference would be that that wouldn't have come out and made the news.
Reno hoped to keep her public life separate from what she does online using the name Misty Crockett, strip-teasing in videos, and catering to used panty buyers. She's also sold dirty gym shorts for $20 plus shipping.
I've been on that website for about a year. We also talked when I decided to run for city council about possible ramifications if that were to be discovered by...
All right, I've looked up Misty Crockett, and let's see if I can get any info here. Oh, nope, that's not going to be appropriate to put on YouTube. Oh, here's her Patreon. Let's check it out. By the way, if I see anything that is inappropriate, I need to take it off of the YouTube stream, by the way. So let me just make sure that that's not going to happen. Ooh, that might be a close call. Hello, I'm Misty. I'm just me, the girl next door, all grown up and naughty. I love taking naughty pictures and making exciting videos. I'm also working on my erotic memoir, Dirty Little Secrets. Man, stop using the words naughty and dirty. You guys are level one around here. We got to get muddy, got to get full of lice. Those are other synonyms for naughty and dirty. It is naughty, exciting, and true. And here at Patreon, each chapter is illustrated with pictures of me. I'd love for you to join me on my naughty adventures. I love requests and suggestions, and I look forward to playing. Thanks for following me on Instagram, and thanks for the support and encouragement. I appreciate you. Ooh, want to see even more of me? Check out my panty website. What? Oh, my goodness. My greatest desire and pleasure is to excite and please my friends by helping them realize their fantasies and fetishes. As my secret friend, let me help you realize your fantasies and bring a naughty bit to your life. I expand on the roles we develop. Together, we can create memorable experiences and delightful trysts. What do I sell? Sexy bras and lingerie. Used panties, pantyhose and stockings, socks, and foot fetish items, including worn shoes. Oh, love worn shoes, right? You better have run at least 13.1 in them, though. Photos, videos, cam shows, and sexting. I will ship your item right after I finished wearing it. It will be sealed in a Ziploc bag. Now, some people maybe are listening to this and going, oh my God, I never knew this was a thing. To me, I'm just like, this is pretty typical internet, to be honest. However, it is funny that it's an older lady and that she's in the news now. That's pretty rude of the news to be like, we're calling you out. Let's check out her Instagram. This page isn't available. Ooh, she's taking it down. So this isn't like something that happened like on Reddit only. No, she's got a full on business. This is not just a girl who was like, I'm just gonna throw it up on Reddit and see how much I get. Now, she's got a real Patreon here. And I'd like to see how many Patreons she has. 75 Patreons. So that's cool.
Community. Opponent Michael Welling tells 2 News, this is very unfortunate and so against my own personal moral code and standards.
That'd be even better. I wish he was doing the same exact thing. I wish he was selling used underwear. I wish he was selling his used shoes.
Reno says she thought selling underwear would be an interesting experience. She now calls it an error in judgment, overshadowing her service to Evanston, Wyoming.
Did you make hundreds of dollars off this? Thousands?
I made respectable money. I mean, I guess I can't say respectable. That's really the wrong word.
What?
There isn't really any amount of money that would be worth what this is going to do to my family.
Really? She's getting all cryy about it. This is terrible. Who cares? This is the news's fault, not her fault.
I was shocked.
Councilwoman Wendy Schuler says Reno is probably no longer electable in this small town of not even 13,000 people.
We are held to a higher standard when we're...
This old lady wishes she could sell her panties.
She's deleted all her accounts associated with her racier identity.
Misty is dead. It doesn't change the nature of who I am, but when people know you're deepest, darkest secrets, they tend to look at you quite differently.
Wow.
Reno tells me she's not sure if she'll stay in the race now that this is out there. If she drops out, her challenger will take the city council seat. In Evanston, Wyoming, Michael Locklear.
Let's check out what her patrons are saying. I just want to say that you're very brave and that you have my vote and the media should be ashamed of themselves. Hi, Misty. I'm very interested in buying used panties from you. Oh, wait. Hi, I'm extremely interested in some of your worn panties and videos. Can I get a... Okay, so... And that element says, totally voting for you. Ooh, boy. Well, this is great. I think she should try to win. I can't find any videos, though. Ooh, we got a store here. $15 for socks. Yeah, $20, as the chat said, for used underwear. Plus $5 for each extra day of wear. Ooh. Would you guys wear... How many days would you go straight for $5 per day of in underwear, and you can't change it? Like a week? $5 per day, I'll pay you every day that you wear your underwear, and we'll just go as long as you can go. So in 2 weeks, that'd be $70. That's not worth wearing the same underwear for 2 weeks, I don't think. So can you just keep making her go forever? I don't know. I have a weird brain. That's funny. $5 for pleasuring myself in your panties. In your panties. Oh. Okay. And $5 for a sexy set of pics of me wearing your panties. $5 to take a pic. And that seems low. I mean, then again, she is like a little on the past her panty prime, we call it. That was a good story. I like that. It went a lot better than I expected. Candidate with panty-selling alter ego says she cannot quit and she will stay in the race. Oh, yeah. There's a follow-up. So from the previous story, she said she was deleting it. And I guess she is maybe still deleting it, but she's staying in the race. So guess we'll see how it turns out. This is only a few days old. Yeah, so I don't think the election has occurred yet. Getting through the news. This is an update to a story I'm pretty sure we did, because we do have a segment on the show called Columbine Style, where we read stories about people who have been planning Columbine-style attacks. Prosecutors are considering plea bargains for two teenage boys charged with plotting a Columbine-style shooting at the Sabin Middle School in Colorado Springs. The talk of negotiations came up in court Wednesday during a judge's agreeing to postpone the October 30th trial for the boys. The other defendant is due in court Monday for one of them, and his attorney confirmed plea talks are also ongoing. So the boys, who are now 13, are charged as adults with conspiracy to commit murder, a felony that normally carries up to 24 years in prison. Authorities say adult charges are appropriate because the teenagers took steps to see their plans through, including drafting a kill list, a.k.a. a list of people we don't like, that named teachers and fellow students, and recording cell phone footage of someone detonating a homemade Molotov cocktail, otherwise known as having a video. The hearing came roughly a year after Colorado Springs police announced that they had arrested the boys before any violence had occurred at the middle school. Attorneys for the boys have argued that they were bullied, that they were venting or puffing by exploring violent fantasies that they had no intention of pursuing. Under questioning of the police, the boy refused to grant permission for a search. The defense lawyer from one of the boys is arguing that some of the evidence is not admissible because of this. The police did not have the legal authority to search the cell phone. Police then asked his mother, who granted her permission and demanded that her son enter his code and unlock the phone for investigators. That is a trap. Do not do that. Well, maybe it is. Listen, so if you've got, okay, so if you've got a kill list and a Molotov cocktail on your phone, is it better to not unlock your phone, or is it better to unlock your phone? Because if you don't unlock your phone, they're going to charge you with obstruction, right? Or you could say, I have no memory. The best defense to any tragedy, I have no memory. I forgot my password suddenly, and I can't unlock my phone. Sorry. Or what if you type it in? I guess, listen, kids.
Breaking news. Podcaster give kids clues to keep a kill list and do a shooting.
No. However, if you got a list, set your phone to that thing where you type in the thing wrong X number of times and it wipes. I don't know if that's an option on Android. It is on Apple. It's like, if you type your password one more time, the entire phone will wipe out, right? So just if the police are like, unlock your phone, just type in the password a bunch of times wrong and then your whole phone wipes. And they'll, what are they going to do? Charge you with destruction of evidence? What evidence? They didn't even know there was evidence. So I don't know. This is not legal advice, and I do not condone keeping any lists on your phone for any reason. Kill lists, shopping lists, lists of your parents' birthdays, none of that. Miller found that while the mother was the registered owner of the cell phone, her son was the sole user, had a security code he shared with no one, and an understanding with his mother that his activities would remain private. The judge was now determined whether the text messages can be used. The defense argues the material is inadmissible. Prosecutors say that police would have found the information through other means, but operated on good faith reliance that the mother had legal authority to agree to the search. So it's a legal gray area, right? Does the mother have legal authority to the 14-year-old's phone that she pays for, however, gave to the kid? Right? I don't know. The judge on Wednesday also ruled that Facebook must hand over registration information concerning a Facebook user who had exchanged messages with one of the defendants a day before his arrest. So, in those messages, the boy said he didn't actually intend to commit violence. That's great. Because they didn't. There's no evidence that they had a gun. There's no evidence that they drew up a timeline, like a Vizio document, where they're like, okay, at 7:45, we dropped the duffel bag full of the bombs. At 7:55, you go to the bathroom. Right? And then shooting begins promptly at 8. No. They didn't have any of that. They just had a list and a picture and a video of a Molotov cocktail. Can't do that these days in middle school. Don't be doing things. It's very dangerous. The chat just bugged down. Oh, no, we're good. Maryland police officers charged with raping a woman during a traffic stop. Sweet story here coming up, folks.
A police officer in Maryland faces charges accused of sexually assaulting a woman he had pulled over. Police say that Ryan Macklin was on duty at the time. The woman went to the authorities immediately after the incident, and police are concerned, though, that there could be other victims.
Information that leads us to believe that there may be additional issues, and that's why I'm asking all facets of our community to take this seriously and take a look.
He has been suspended without pay, the department said, and has been charged with first-degree rape, second-degree rape, perverted practice, second-degree assault, and fourth-degree sex offense. It's really unfortunate that I don't know how to speak. Newly released court documents are detailing the charges against the police officer. Police say Mackin conducted the traffic stop on blah, blah, blah Boulevard at around 1 a.m. He's then accused of forcing the woman to perform a sexual act in her car in a nearby parking lot while he was on duty and in uniform driving a marked police cruiser. He's like, pull around back. You like this uniform? Why is my voice for everybody the same voice?
Yeah, I like that steak medium well.
The woman said she was headed to her job working construction, of course, because she's coming from a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. Surveillance video from inside a furniture store shows the emergency lights, but doesn't show anything else. Officer Mackin tried to touch the victim's breast during that stop. He then ordered her to drive behind the nearby store and physically forced her to perform oral sex. Ow. 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 Like, wouldn't that hurt? For him? Not for her. Well, yes, for her, too. Podcaster says that... Podcaster sympathizes with a man forcing oral sex on himself. Just grit your teeth, right? I've never been able to get anything cylindrical into my mouth if my teeth are gritted. Obviously, he has a gun, though, right? So it's like, do it or I'll shoot you in the head. Yeah, right. You're going to get blood on your uniform? I don't think so. Let's see. This is known to be a community mostly made up of immigrants. A different status is not coincidental that she would have stopped and asked for that type of favor in exchange. Wait, it's sorry. We believe she was targeted. It is not coincidental that she would be stopped and asked for that type of favor in exchange for her not to be reported or be cited. Oh, so he could have said, like, I know you're an immigrant. Let's go. Let's go. We are really asking people, if it has happened before, to please come forward, whether or not it is their local authorities or to organizations like ourselves, to report that this has happened, because we know the police officer was on the force for 6 years. So they're saying, well, he finally got caught. I guess maybe he did it again before? Because, right, how many, like, after 6 years, do you just go, you know what, I'm a cop and guess I'm just going to try it. I've been on the deep web looking up these methods, right? All right, here's a story that I didn't actually hear go on many other podcasts, but it is kind of, we're going to go quick because it's stupid.
You know, we tell you a lot of stories. This one is one we have never heard before. A Valley man tricks caregivers into thinking he was special needs, paying them to change his diaper for his own sexual gratification. Those are the allegations from police. We broke this story last night.
The story of a Valley man who police said tricked caregivers into thinking he was special needs, paying them to change his diaper for his sexual gratification, has now gone viral. So there's this guy. He posted on Craigslist, and he pretended that he was like the guardian or whatever of himself. So 30-year-old Paul Menchaca is facing multiple charges and is due back in court on September 17th. Oh, so this happened a month ago. So this is a little old. However, this story went, like, to everyone. CareLinx is basically you post your name and what you're qualified to do, and people come to see it and message it. Oh, so it's like freelance caregiving, right? So he posted that he was a special needs person. And the caregivers are saying he was childlike, very childish. He would talk like a child. He would act like a child. Allen said she even quit one of her jobs to help take care of Menchaca and got her two friends involved when she couldn't make appointments. Alexander Douglas, 20, was one of them. She began in August, and she said every time she changed his diaper, he was sexually aroused. This story is so strange in its reporting style, because the only picture that I've seen when you look up this story is this same picture. This same picture of the guy who looks like he's retarded. Sorry, liberals, I said the R word. He looks like he has Down syndrome, and that's why it's funny to post this photo. There's probably other photos of this person, right? There's probably a photo of him in a suit. He's probably been to a wedding. He's probably graduated high school. Probably. But all they post is this one photo of him looking like a Down syndrome guy. Maybe because they're all just stealing the story from each other? Either way. Every time we changed his diaper, he was sexually aroused. We always thought, like, I was listening to her. We always thought, like, I was listening to her because she basically was like, well, listen, people with Down syndrome, they don't understand, they don't notice this, so that's what we kept believing, and it happens every time we changed his diaper.
What?
That made no sense. I think basically what she's saying is that he's Down syndrome, so he can't tell that he should be hiding his cylindrical object. The three... girls and try not to make it cylindrical. The three girls, however, slowly started to get suspicious once stories stopped adding up. Menchaca stopped paying them and the $160 per day he originally offered. Wow. That's way more than a pair of used panties. Alan approached Menchaca at his parents' house after dropping him off one day. She said that's when the girls found out he doesn't have Down syndrome. He hasn't needed a diaper since he was a child. You're having an older man like take advantage of you and get pleasure out of you touching their privates. It's mortifying. It's embarrassing. Like knowing that someone could take advantage of you like that and not get the repercussions that they should. When the girls confronted Menchaca themselves in the parents' living room, they say he wouldn't even look at them. He couldn't even look at us. He was just sitting down with his head between his legs, sucking his own dick. What? No, just that last part was made up. Basically, like talking and mumbling, and his dad kept asking, answer them. They want to know. These girls, you messed with their lives. They want to know. And all I kept yelling was basically like asking him, why? Why would you do this? Why would you do this? In court paperwork, Menchaca told police he was a crossing guard for the Chandler School District. So, there's that, I guess. That takes some balls, though, right? To pull that off, especially for several months. And then what do? How do you fire them? How do you go like, I'm Down syndrome, but actually I would like to end this arrangement. Oh, great. Podcaster makes a Down syndrome voice. And then how do they like believe it? Or maybe his hope was that when he stopped paying that they would stop showing up, right? Just be like, we have to stop coming. And he'd be like, oh, that's too bad, but actually that's what I wanted. But do you get in too deep and you're like, uh-oh, how do I cancel without them finding out? Arizona man falls into a mine shaft and lives there for 3 days. 62-year-old man was rescued from the depths of an Arizona mine shaft Wednesday. Oh, sorry, 2 days after he plunged into the pit and began an ordeal in which he nursed his numerous injuries while simultaneously fending off rattlesnakes. John Waddell was lifted out of the 100-foot deep shaft Wednesday after his friend Terry Schrader heard him hollering. So let's see what the news has to say. They've interviewed the friend. That was the wrong knob.
Terry Schrader knew that something wasn't right when he didn't hear from his neighbor, his friend John Waddell.
As I pulled up in the truck, I could hear him hollering, help, help, you know.
Schrader's fears were confirmed. The 62-year-old veteran had fallen into the gold mine. He had been trapped for 48 hours, but it turns out he was not alone.
Anything about rattlesnakes down there at all?
Three of them, he said, he killed, I guess.
Did they bite him?
No.
He killed three rattlesnakes?
Yeah.
While trapped down?
While he was laying down there for 2 days.
Despite no cell service in the area, Schrader was able to get some help, and the rescue operation took nearly 6 hours.
Main line's ready!
Never seen anything like this. I've been around a few rescues, but nothing like this.
What is that? Was that a wounded whale? Or was that the man in the cave still going, help! Help! We know, idiot. We're coming. He's like, no, it's another rattlesnake. It's inching toward me.
The Flight for Life helicopter has just lifted off after nearly 48 hours. A man trapped in a mine shaft just pulled out a couple of minutes ago here in the rural desert of western Arizona. And an IV administered to him very quickly, dehydrated and obviously in serious pain, but not life-threatening injuries. And it looks like he is going to be okay.
He's tough. You know, he's a tough guy.
Goodness.
Waddell didn't find any gold this week, but he certainly found a miracle.
That's crazy. What was he doing? He called me Monday and told me he was coming to the mine. We always had a deal. If he's not back by Tuesday, look for him because he said he would be back Tuesday. Well, he didn't come to town Tuesday, so I did today. I was afraid of what I was going to find. He drove to the... So this friend said, if I don't come back Tuesday, come look for me. And then the guy who was supposed to go look for him waited until Wednesday. What? All I could hear when I pulled my truck up was him yelling, help, help. I did get enough cell phone service that the deputies were on their way. He plummeted into the shaft Monday and broke both legs. He lay helpless. He suddenly discovered several rattlesnakes were slithering around him. Oh my goodness. And he managed to kill three of them during the trying 2 days underground. Did he drink their blood? Oh, my goodness. It took rescuers 6 hours to pull him out of the shaft.
Ooh.
Shaft. To safety, and then to airlift him to the hospital. He was dehydrated and had broken his legs, but his injuries are not life-threatening. Can you believe it? There's going to be a new movie. There's going to be a new movie. Remember the movie with the guy with the... Whoops. Guy with the boulder on his arm? There's going to be this one, where it's like, fall down a mine shaft, 66 hours or whatever. Rattlesnake coming for my eyes. My legs are broken. I might die laying here in the shaft. What was he doing, though? Like, do people just rappel into mine shafts for fun? I heard that his rappelling equipment broke, and that's why he slid all the way down. He was using one of those carabiners from the dollar store, the kind that I used to hold my keys onto my belt, and he should not have been using that for rappelling into an abandoned mine shaft. All right, we got the big story of the week has occurred. Actually, let's go over to the other notes and let's do a Nick update. The chat is here. They are excited that Nick does exist. And I lost all of my notes. So since the last time I've been on the air, a lot of stuff has happened. And by a lot of stuff, I mean nothing has happened because that I don't do anything. I've killed approximately 80 rattlesnakes, 80 mice, and one chipmunk in the basement. It's getting real bad. My basement is basically the outside, because of the way it's constructed. It's got like a dirt floor and kind of dirt walls. Like, what am I going to do? I can't build an entire wall there to keep the mice out. Maybe I can wrap the entire house in chicken wire, but they get in, they stick their heads in traps, and then we take care of them. So my parents came and they were coming to a lake and I was like, I got to get a kayak or rent one. So I post online, does anyone know good kayak rental places? And this lady contacts me and she's like, I'm in New Hampshire. I'll just come bring you my kayak. You can borrow it. I'm like, what? So I met a random lady from the internet. Nice lady named Cheryl. And she was Cheryl-y 2 years old and brought over a kayak. So that was cool. And we went mini golfing. And so we go mini golfing at the local place, and I haven't been mini golfing in forever. So I take my golf ball and I go up to the first hole and I go, I haven't been golfing in forever, guys, mom, dad, sister. This is a practice shot. So I go, practice shot, and I go, pop. And as you guys, of course, have guessed, the practice shot is a hole in one, right? I didn't do that again for the rest of the 18 mini golf holes. But of course, the secret is not caring what happens. If you don't care what happens, because it's a practice shot, all of your nerves go away, and you hit a hole-in-one every single time. Let's see what else. Oh, I got a new road. Everyone's like, what do you mean you got a new road? You got a new driveway paved again? No, I did not. The highway outside my house got redone. And you can look at it right now. Just kidding. I mean, I can look at it right now, but it's also dark. So they come by and they pave it like at 2, not 2 a.m., like 10 p.m. or something. And you can go up my door and you just watch like the paver go by. And I can sit on my lawn with a little beer and go, whoa, cool. And they pave the road. Problem with paving the road is that they have made the bump between the road and the shoulder much bigger. So now the shoulder is like this little trench, kind of. Instead of it being a little bump to get back onto the road, it's a big bump to get back on the road. And I actually didn't realize what sort of effect that would have on the two-wheeled vehicle known as the bicycle. And so at one point I was biking into town, not because I don't have a license. I do. But I was biking anyway, and I crashed the bike on the highway in front of a car. Like, as I was falling, I'm like, well, I know there's a car about 3 seconds behind me, so I've got 3 seconds to roll out of the highway before it's a problem. It wasn't going to be close, but it could have been. So the car slows down and then just goes around me, and I get up. I'm like, oh, ouch. So I was like bruised for several days after that. Try not to crash your bike on the highway when they repave it. So that's exciting. I've been getting a lot of spam calls on my phone, right? Everyone has this. Oh, man, I get like 5 spam calls a day. I probably have a missed call right now. That's a spam call, right? And so a couple weeks ago, there was a spam call coming into my phone, right? So I answer it. I put it on speaker. I go, what? And the person on the other end goes, hello? And I go, oh, my goodness. Hi? And they're like, yeah, we're from your oil company, and you have a bill due if you want oil delivered. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just yelled into the phone, and it's just a lady trying to help me with my oil delivery. For what? One call out of a billion is legitimate, and it's the one that I decided to go, what? Into it. Oh, my goodness. I feel so bad for her. Hello? What? That concludes updates about my life. Big story this week. Jamie Kloss, missing Wisconsin teen, disappeared after parents are killed. Timeline of events. Let's see if this video is just going to be music or if it's going to be someone talking. Or if it's going to be a 30-second ad. The mysterious disappearance of Wisconsin teen Jamie Kloss, who went missing after her parents were brutally murdered inside their barren home, has plagued investigators for days. News about the 13-year-old has continued to spread since the gruesome discovery Monday when authorities tirelessly combed the county. Country. Country? That's a lot more than what county. For any signs of the girl.
Fox News alert, an urgent nationwide search underway for this missing 13-year-old girl. After her parents were found dead inside their home, authorities believe Jamie Kloss is in danger as they work to enhance a short 911 call. The only word that can be understood is help. Police believe that the teen was taken by someone with a gun, but do not have any leads on a suspect.
Let's see. Jamie is missing and endangered. Authorities have fielded more than 400 tips related to Jamie's potential whereabouts so far. So on October 18th, blah, 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 blah. Oh, wait, what is this? Is this a reverse timeline? October 15th, the Barron County Sheriff's Department received a 911 call from an unknown person at 11:58 a.m. from a home in Barron, but the caller didn't communicate with police. Noises heard in the background suggested there was a disturbance. The 911 call, which is being analyzed, lasted 45 seconds. Police rushed to the home and discovered 2 deceased adults with gunshot wounds, though a gun was not found at the scene, and the 13-year-old daughter was missing. At the end of the day, I want a 13-year-old here safe and sound. That's our goal. That's our only goal right now, said Fitzgerald, emphasizing Jamie was not considered a suspect in the murder case. She was ruled as a suspect of the slayings of her parents, blah, blah, blah. But why? Why is she ruled out as a suspect? Sheriff calls for volunteers to search for evidence as search for Jamie Kloss 13 continues. Wisconsin authorities desperately searched for her, blah, blah, blah. How many times do I have to say searched over and over again? We believe she's still in danger. We got an update on the 911 call. Let's see here.
Police in Wisconsin have been frantically searching for a 13-year-old girl that they believe could be in danger. Authorities issued an Amber Alert for Jamie Kloss. Well, that's after her parents were found dead in their home. Neighbors think that they heard gunshots. Dispatchers heard people yelling for help when somebody called from the home calling 911 around 1 a.m. Monday.
This is so sad. The 911 call apparently now has been determined to have come from the mother's cell phone, and that a door to the family's home had been kicked in. Authorities have been searching for her since Monday. We believe Jamie was in the home at the time of the homicides, and we believe she's still in danger. Yikes. Dispatcher could hear a lot of yelling. The family dog was there when deputies arrived and was eventually taken to a relative's home. I guess the dog didn't care. Yeah. Well, there were some guys here, and I need some food now because my food bringers have been... You know what my number one suspect here is? That pig farmer that killed Molly Tibbetts. Remember that pig farm? Remember that pig farmer that was the number one suspect in the Molly Tibbetts case? They never called him a suspect. They were like, but they were like, we've brought him in for questioning twice, but he's not a suspect. And then they were like, oh, just kidding. It was this Mexican. Right? Remember that guy? Did he ever get an apology letter from the police being like, oh, sorry for bringing you in? Did he ever get an apology letter from the media? Do you know how many people were looking at the media going, oh my, it's obviously the pig farmer. Search that man's house. Search that man's basement. Search that man's car. He clearly killed Molly Tibbetts. And then they were like, oh no, it was the Mexican. We all jump to conclusions, right? Y'all want to be guilty until proven innocent. But no, sometimes, usually it is true, but sometimes it's not, right? It was this pig farmer and then Richard Pearl. Those are the two times. Is that his name? Those are the two times that the main guy was not the actual killer. Everyone forgot about the pig farmer, like moments after Molly Tibbetts' actual murderer was found, even though that guy's not convicted either. So maybe it was the pig farmer. We don't know. Man, getting all riled up. Anyway, here's the other thing the media is doing. They're showing this picture. Look at this picture. This is a picture of a skinny girl sitting on a rock, looking up at the camera, being like, tee-hee, kidnap me. Then you look at real pictures of Jamie Cross. She's a lot fatter. Look at her face. That's the same person. Allegedly. She's got way more cheeks in this one. And if anyone found her, they'd be like, oh, no, wait, you can't be her. You're way fatter than you look like on the news. But this is the one they're leading with in every news story. This same picture. It's just like the Down syndrome guy. They only use one picture. I'm renaming this to this show to Not News with Nick. Nick yells at the news for being so dumb. Ah, I'm getting worked up. Guess she was in a pageant. Oh, no, is she a Saints cheerleader? What is this? She's all covered in sequins. I keep turning down the computer knob, thinking it's turning me down because I'm peeking, and this whole time it wasn't me. Ah, there she is at a wedding. So she did go to a wedding with the Down syndrome guy. All right. Speaking of people who've been abducted, we have an update to close the show, folks. Tennessee girl who ran off with her married teacher, Tad Cummins, has found real love and is engaged to 18-year-old boy a year after she was kidnapped and taken across state lines for 39 days. Oh, what an idiot. What an idiot. The Tennessee schoolgirl who spent 39 days on the run with her married teacher has found real love with a boy her own age and is set to marry him. Elizabeth Thomas, 17, fell for 18-year-old Skylar Durla after the pair worked together at a seafood restaurant in their hometown of Columbia. I'm going to the restaurant. I'm not joking. I hate seafood, but I will do it for the show. And I will throw up after eating squid, and I will try to throw up on Elizabeth Thomas and her stupid boyfriend's beard. Here's a picture of them on Facebook. This is his Facebook profile picture. I'm not pulling this from the news. This is his Facebook profile picture. He's got hairy legs, he's got a hairy face, and he's on his knees proposing to chubby Elizabeth Thomas, and she's only 17. That's rape. You think Tad Cummins is a rapist? This man is a rapist too. I can't believe in Tennessee it's not like 14 as the thing, as the age. Oh boy. Here's a picture of them. They're very happy. He probably has Stockholm syndrome. Her. Can you imagine? Like imagine like he doesn't cook dinner one night, and she's like, "OMG, Durla." Oh wait, is his first? No, Skylar. His name's Skylar. Oh jeez. OMG, Skylar, you didn't get food ready even. I've had a hard day at the seafood restaurant, and I just want to come home, and I just want to sit down. I just want to have some seafood. I mean, sorry, some dinner. And he's like, oh, really? Oh, really? You're going to complain to me. You ran away. I didn't kidnap you. Have I kidnapped you yet today? And you're going to complain about dinner? And then she's going to be like, yeah, well, at least that kidnapper bought me stuff and cooked me dinner. This man is always going to be compared to a married kidnapper. He'll never be able to live up. That man took her across the country, toured the entire country, lived in a commune, housing was always taken care of, and now he's got to live up to that? Impossible. And then he puts a ring on it. This has been News of the Nick for October 19th, 2018. Thank you for coming to listen to the show. It is amazing. Goodbye. I forgot to record the video version.